As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grape seed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
By staying open 7 days a week, through the night and on the weekends, the port of Los Angeles will open over 60 extra hours a week will be open. In total, that will almost double the number of hours that the port is open for business from earlier this year. That means an increase in the hours for workers to be moving cargo off ships onto trucks and rail cars to get to their destination. And more than that, the night hours are critical for increasing the movement of goods because highways are less crowded in the evening.
That was just some of Biden's speech on the supply chain yesterday. I'm trying to find the words that I would use to describe what we all heard. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. You're almost through the week, everybody. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go to the website. Check it out. So, the supply, I don't know if you guys watched this last night. I did. I watched it. I had to watch the video of it online because I was in production when all of this happened. But I hear all the people who are in the supply industry. I hear all the people who listen to us who are the truck drivers and the deliverer of us. You guys deliver for us. I hear you screaming from here in Dallas as to what he just said. Oh, I hear it. You hear him? Listen real quietly. You can hear it. You can hear him screaming. Does he know how this stuff works? I mean, I'm not a truck driver, but I know how it works. Although I've always wanted to try to parallel park one. I think it'd be fun to drive one. I love big, giant vehicles. The bigger, that's the better. That's just how it is. The bigger the vehicle, the closer to God. Right? Like the bigger the hair, the closer to God. That's the mean, at least the same in Texas, maybe. But it's not really how that works. In listening to this, he's saying, oh, I'll just have him drive at night. It'll be perfect. It'll work for them wonderfully. But yeah, that's not really how that doesn't work that way. They have like caps on how many hours there's, because that's for their health and their safety and everybody else's safety too. Why don't we just power them with batteries? Let them run like that. Let all that just deny them sleep. Work them like machines. Oh my gosh! I have even more audio for you today. I've got a lot to get into. You're not gonna like anything I got in this first hour. I mean, you're gonna be interested in it, but it's not happy kitten fun sunshine stuff. I don't think anybody got any new information from the president's address, from his speech. And Washington Post, actually, believe it or not, they kind of panned it. Which that was kind of a shocker for me because it's WAPO. It's not like they're this bastion of conservatism. They said that it was just window dressing. They said that nothing is going to come from this. They said it was nothing, zero effect from anything that he said, which I thought was kind of interesting because it seems like they've been kind of bent over backwards trying to defend him, and it's getting impossible. So now they're having to be critical. I have some of those examples here coming up. So WAPO pan his supply chain speech because it's awful. In the meantime, gas has hit a 7-year high. They're rising. The Biden war on producers continues. Remember, they wanted to get everybody pushed on over to electric vehicles. I don't have anything against electric vehicles. I think they're cool. They scare the hell out of me because they don't make any noise. It's like put a bell on it or something. I had a friend who drove up. We were at the school And it was like a sports kid thing. And we were at the school and a friend of mine drove up and she has a Tesla. Couldn't even hear that damn thing. If it wasn't for the gravel on the pavement, like some of the rocks on the pavement and me hearing the tires press down on it, that was creepy, man. You don't hear it. It's quiet, super quiet. I don't have a problem with electric vehicles. I am, as a consumer, I like choices. Treat me like a princess. Bring me coffee and wine. Give me options. That's what I like, right? Just like, you know, that's what we all are like. But unfortunately, that's not what this administration is looking at. So they want everybody to be on electric vehicles. Now, I don't care if you have an electric vehicle. My problem comes in when people are like, oh, I love the environment more than you do, as evidenced by my possession of this electric vehicle. Okay, well, no, because you're still actually, you're in the supply chain for pollution. Just because you put it over in China doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Yes, it does. It's not here where I can see it. I've noticed that a lot of progressives have a very limited worldview, kind of baby style. You know how babies, they don't have object permanence. Babies, they have to see it in front of them to know that it exists. And that's the same thing with a lot of progressives. They have to see it physically in front of them, especially where it relates to pollution. Because if it's not in front of them and they can't see themselves contributing to it, then hell, as far as they know, they're not part of the problem. Thus, the electric vehicle situation and empowering China further. So, oh, it's going to get worse. So gas prices are increasing. And very interesting little bit from Associated Press today. Winter heating bills are set to jump as inflation hits homes. Well, you knew this was going to happen. Told you. The Associated Press is warning everyone, well, get ready to pay a lot more for your heating this winter with everything else. Because prices are surging across the planet for heating oil, natural gas, and other fuels. The government says it expects households to see their heating bills jump as much as 54% compared to last winter. 54% as compared to last winter. 54% compared to last winter. That's a big problem. They say those in the Midwest could get particularly pinched with bills up an estimated 49%. This could be the most expensive winter for natural gas heated homes since 2008 and 2009. Jiminy Christmas. They say that you're looking at paying an average of $746 this winter, nearly half of the homes that use natural gas for heat, and that's 30% more than what it was a year ago. And those who use electricity to heat their homes, it's a second. That makes up about 41%. They're going to see an increase too. They say it's going to be about, on average, about $1,268. And then heating oil, which is 4%, that's a 43% increase, more than $500. That's crazy. They say now, the sharpest increases are for propane. But what if that's your backup plan and you were going to bury a tank in your yard? Right? I'm like, what? This has got way more expensive. What? Yeah. You know how hot, sidebar, you know how hard it is to get contractors out right now? Yeah. It is impossible. Don't think I haven't been pushing forward on burying my propane, because I totally have been. You know how expensive it is? Everything is like quadrupled. It's like every week, you're like, oh, the prices have changed. Here's a new proposal. What? Yeah, totally true. So the U.S. Energy Information Administration, they are saying that higher inflation ripping across a global economy. And they have reports showing that prices 5% higher for U.S. consumers in September. It's just bad, bad all around. But you know what? Ron Klain says this is a high class problem. You know who Ron Klain is, right? What? Don't you what me? Don't you what? This is Ronald Klain. Not related to Ronald McDonald. White House Chief of Staff. He retweeted this professor who was with Obama's cabinet, and his name was, or not cabinet, he was an advisor on energy stuff. He has this, just at some point, by the way, can I just say, when you're like 60, you're pushing 60, stop doing the longer hair flip over comb over thing like you're like one of the Corys. Stop it. It's unbecoming. This guy, Jason Furman, tweeted, most of the economic problems we are facing, inflation and supply chains, are high-class problems. We wouldn't have them if the unemployment rate was still 10%. We would instead have had a much worse problem. Man, how much do they get paid for polishing turds in the White House? I love what people think are high-class problems about art. Would you like to not freeze to death this winter? Well, that's a high-class problem. Holy cow! High-class problem. You okay over there?
No.
You excited about paying more? Hey, but you saved like a quarter of a penny on your hot dog for Independence Day.
I did?
Yeah, didn't you?
I didn't realize.
Didn't you save like a cent or something?
I didn't notice.
Take all those savings and use them for your power bills. Look at all these savings. It's a whole penny. You take that Lincoln on over, man. You use it as a layaway payment on your heat. High class. These people are so damn bougie. High class problems. Who are these people? High class problems. You can feel the sneer in that statement. You know he typed that pinkies out on his keyboard. It's a high-class problem. That's the White House chief of staff who retweeted this guy. He wrote this, finger emoji pointing down. I really don't think that's where he wants to go with this. I mean, people are they're struggling to buy groceries and get gas and they're heat their homes. That's a high-class problem. Jeebus, it sounds like we're damn East Germany. That's what it sounds like. I mean, what? Inflation, let me just explain it like this. Because people who don't understand, all these like rich, wealthy socialists out there, they don't understand what inflation is. Just look at it like an invisible tax. That's what it is. It is an invisible tax.
Except it's not so invisible.
Well, it's like a tax that didn't come as a tax. It just came as everything else costs more.
Right.
Everything. You go out, you buy some Teddy Grahams. Them Teddy Grahams are going to be more expensive. Because inflation. It's like an additional tax. If staying fed and keeping warm during the winter is a high-class problem, man, everybody's screwed. Where was this guy raised? A palace? Jeez. It's a high-class problem. Endorsing the perspective as being high-class problems. Man, I would love for that question to come up with Jen Psaki. Please, oh please. Now, my birthday month was last month, so this could be a belated B-Day gift, right? No, I want specifically, Kane, about the high-class problem question. We're going to play that Jen Psaki audio soundbite, but I want specifically during Ducey time today. I would love to hear whether or not the president shares the perspective of his chief of staff as to whether or not this is a high-class problem. We're going to talk about it. So, and then the press is trying to kind of criticize. It's really weird. It's like when Chandler Bing smiles. That's what it's like when the press tries to criticize Biden. So they said CNN is struggling with criticizing. I said CNN struggling criticizing POTUS. Biden's laid back style helped him win the White House, but now it's starting to wear thin. Wow. Okay. They're going to really push for that. All right. I got you. I see you. We see you. We see y'all. So we're going to get into that and much more. What's the perfect companion to cooler weather besides apple spice? The comfort of getting cozy in your new Tommy John loungewear. So when you're wearing Tommy John loungewear, you get more comfort and it looks good enough to wear outside and feels good enough to wear in bed. Tommy John loungewear features thoughtful, tagless labels because you cannot be comfortable with those scratchy tags. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics who say that the joggers feel like butter. Tommy John loungewear is guaranteed to fit perfectly with non-pilling, micromodal fabric, meaning no lint balls or fuzz, and luxuriously soft tri-blend fabric with flexible four-way stretch. Plus, they have a new triangle bra that folks say is as comfy and perfect for all-day wear. Returns and exchanges are always free, and the loungewear and bras are backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Right now, go to TommyJohn.com/Dana to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off. Get cozy this season with the new Tommy John loungewear. TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Don't let me forget, I got to get into Mayor Poot, because there's a piece called calling it Amateur Hour that I need to read to you and share it with you, because you guys are right where I am. Okay, all right, headline. CNBC says a record 4.3 million workers quit their jobs last August. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we figured, kind of figured something like that. Be wary of this. Top Democrats are unveiling a bill to rein in tech companies' malicious algorithms. Now, the details are still kind of being finalized, but they said that they're looking at how to essentially revise this and look at including, they're looking at 230 and liability protections. Anything that's a repeal of 230, I don't support. I'm totally fine with including algorithms as editorial practices, because technically they are. I mean, editorial practices, I mean, as we've become more digitally sophisticated, so has that definition and the way that we present and curate news as well. But I don't really trust these cats doing it. They're trying to bait and switch conservatives and Republicans into allowing the federal government to control the privately owned public square, which is weird to say. If there was, I'm going to just be real with you. If this was any other police shooting, this dude would be excoriated for shooting an unarmed woman. So they had a story out about Lieutenant Byrd. He's the Capitol Police officer. They said he was shaking, nervous, and teary-eyed when he shot Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt in the January 6th thing. Now, you can go and say FAFO with this, and I get it how, you know, you should listen to orders and all that. I'm consistent there. Where I have a problem is that you had a SWAT team behind her, and you had this guy who did not understand the first rule of proper firearm usage, which is know your target, know what's behind it. And he just, like, pointed right at, he was lucky, I think, and I don't mean to say it like, you know, he got a shot in, but I'm surprised that he didn't hurt more people, honestly. And I'm surprised he didn't get any of the SWAT team that was behind her. That's what I've, that's also what I don't get. You're telling me that people weren't like talking to each other with their walkie-talkies and everything else? This was just bizarre. But notice the disparity in treatment. If this was any other officer-involved shooting, it'd be a lot differently, which is my point. Walgreens are closing more stores in San Francisco. Also, everybody's getting ransacked in San Francisco and New York as well. Because of organized retail crime, they said they had to close 5 stores across San Francisco. Walgreens said this Tuesday. So they're closing up. They said, sounds like a great place. Well, if you need a needle, just grab a dirty one on the ground. Just step over the feces. TSA says 40% of its employees are unvaccinated as a deadline looms. Oof. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add 2 delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
I know you do, but
when the deceleration is happening slower, perhaps, than people expected a few months ago,
yeah.
And people are still paying 10 or 15 or 20% more for meat, and they're saying, why was it supposed to be transitory 4 months ago, and we're still here, does that make things more difficult to explain as to why this is the case?
Well, it requires us explaining, and through working with all of you as well, that the cost of meat is also related to competition, and the small number of large meat producers who have a dominance over the market, and the fact that a lot of these issues are not as simple as a one-sentence explanation, and that different industries have different issues in the supply chains, different issues that are causing some increases in prices, and also because we all understand the American people are not looking at cost-to-cost comparisons from this year to 2 years ago. They're looking at cost-to-cost comparisons to their checkbooks from 8 months ago or 12 months ago. And even though factually, if you look back to 2 years ago, things may be comparative, that's not how people look at things. So our objective here is to tackle each of these issues with the approach that we think will help address it in the shortest term.
Yeah, we do. We totally do. These people, have they ever had to, like, they've never had to deal with a budget. These people are so far removed from, like, real life. Must be nice, right? Welcome back to the show. Must be nice. That's Jen Psaki yesterday. I really want to hear a question about whether or not she agrees with the president that it's high-class problems to deal with heating and cooling and dealing with feeding your family. It's just so... These people are out of touch with everyday Americans. Now, a couple of other things here. I'm looking at all of this stuff. We have the Toy Association president warning kids' gifts are going to cost 10% more this year, this Christmas. Kids aren't going to get what they want. They were saying, like, you have to order it now. Everything now, basically. I think that's one of the reasons why they do that Christmas creep too in the stores with retail. I really do think that's one of the reasons why they do that. But they said that the Toy Association president warned that some kids' gifts are going to the gifts are going to cost up to 10% more this Christmas. Kids aren't going to get what they want because of bottlenecks at the ports. It could take until mid-2022 to clear. Global supply chain crisis is haunting Halloween. Shelves are already stripped bare. People are scrambling for costumes. Holiday chaos becomes reality. And then you have people. I want to play this, even though I know you're going to use it for today in Stupidity, Kane. But you got people like Don Lemon here who think that this actually means the economy is great. Listen.
So I talked to Kai Rizdahl last night, who explained to me about the supply chain. Yes, it is terrible. People want to get their things. But it's also an indicator that the economy is doing well. People want to buy things.
Well, when you're given, like, stimulus money, you're given money to stay home. Yeah, people use that to buy things. They can't buy anything, though, and everything costs more because of inflation. And it's going to be even more expensive to get things everywhere because of the increased cost of fuel. To say that this is a sign that the economy is doing better is that the fact that food is more expensive, energy is more expensive, and fuel is more expensive, that means the economy is doing better? Really? Oh, golly, these people are so far removed from reality. Well, Don Lemon lives in Manhattan, so he has no clue. He doesn't know what happened. He doesn't know what happens outside of Manhattan. He does not know. They don't have the same problems to go home to when they get done with their jobs that everybody else does. It's different. That's not a sign that the economy, they're looking at demand and not enough things in the shelves as a sign that the economy is doing well. But I mean, the demand, are you able to, I mean, I guess you can look at orders placed, etc. And you can look at the, I mean, this is like regular shipping. It's actually, I would think, kind of difficult to gauge what the demand actually is when everything is so backlogged. This is silly. It's supply. And you have not enough people to actually, I mean, not just making the product, packaging the product, shipping the product, unloading the product, transporting the product. I saw this caption. It says, shoppers say they've been forced to hand make decorations and costumes. Can I be real for a minute? Boo flipping who? Seriously. Wah. Serves everybody right. Can I be real? Everybody's so damn just materialistic and consumer driven. You had to hand make decorations. I mean, heaven forbid you sit down and do a craft with your kid. Handmade stuff. Why is that bad? Man, this is just really, and I love Halloween. to an inappropriate degree. But this is silly. I had to handmade decorations. I couldn't find them on the shelves. The problem is that you could go, well, doesn't that prove Ron Klain right that it's a high class problem? That's the thing, though. It's not high class. I think people don't understand the definition of class. When this affects everybody, and when you have like basic everyday people who are lamenting the fact that they just can't find a Halloween decoration, that's a bigger problem than just supply. If you get my drift, that's a problem, period. I was at Spirit Halloween. I always go like right when it opens. It's like a thing in our family. Get over it. I always go where I have people who give me a lot of, they always give me a lot of sass because I enjoy Halloween, because apparently it means I'm a devil worshiper. There's actually people who like share photos of me because they said I wore a cross necklace once. That means I'm a devil worshiper. I mean, I am a member of a church and, you know, I go and worship on Sundays, but whatever. You know, it's really fun to engage in conspiracy stuff on social media when you're a leftist, but I digress. Some of them, though, I think are like super far. Like, they're not even right. They're just crazy. But I went into my Spirit Halloween store and they didn't have like hardly anything out. And I kept thinking, oh, maybe it's just because it's early. It's just early. That's what it is. It's just a little early. That's all. I think it's kind of a bigger issue than that. But don't you think so? Like, people who, maybe that means, right, just wear a different costume or do something homemade. Maybe we don't need to get like all the Christmas presents like everybody gets this year. I've never understood that either. I mean, I'm not judging people for doing what they do, but to me, it just seemed tacky to have. And I got family who do this. They'll take pictures and you can't even see their tree. The presents pile up halfway up the tree. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was Jesus's birthday. Oops. I thought, wrong birthday, I guess. I thought this was Jesus' birthday. Look at all the presents you get. Yes, well, we get presents for Jesus' birthday. Like, we've never had that. I've never had it to where our tree is like that. Never. And, like, this year even, I was thinking about even implementing a rule. Like, one of the three gifts that, like, my immediate family, like, the, you know, my husband and myself and my kids, like, make one of the gifts that you give handmade or something that you make, one of the three, because you don't get more than that. Like I always said, Jesus got three. You ain't better than Jesus. But why do we have to do all this big stuff? Like, why do we have to have like the present mountain? You realize that where the present mountain comes from, right? Comes from all them ships that are out there waiting to pull in a port out in Long Beach. That's where it comes from. Oh, unless you're telling me that you actually went and you bought all USA-made kids' toys. I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. Right? How do you do Christmas, Kane? I'm sorry, not to pry, but...
Well, I've got three kids, so, you know, it's...
Really... Have you ever been like, I got to cover my tree up with presents?
No.
You can't see the tree. It's a measure of how much I love my children.
But now that all my kids are up in age, out of high school and all of that, my gift giving is more about what they would be able to really use and need,
right,
as opposed to, you know, just like a toy or something as a gesture. So it's more, I think more people are thoughtful about their gifts during that time. And you know, some people think it's not about need or what they have to do, it's about what they want to do in Christmas. So, you know, whatever, more power to them in
that's
that regard.
I like, for my birthday, I had like some of my family members like, what do we asking my husband, like, what can we get Dana for a birthday? Nothing. I don't need anything. There's nothing I need. Nothing.
Do you want to hear what Pete Buttigieg's comment is on Christmas presents?
I don't know if I want to hear Mayor Poot yet.
It's less than, it's 15 seconds. It's not long.
Wait a minute. Let me guess. He's the Grinch.
Well.
I think when you're like too far and you go all,
he's,
you know,
saying
Charlie Bucket with it, then you're kind of a Grinch.
He's saying there's two kinds of shoppers is basically what he's
saying. I know what. Okay. I know what this is. Go ahead and play it.
Well, I think there's always been two kinds of Christmas shoppers. There's the ones who have all their list completed by Halloween, and then there's people like me who show up at the mall on Christmas Eve. If you're in that latter bucket, obviously there's going to be more challenges.
That's lame. So it's everybody else's fault because you're the only... By the way, if you're waiting till Christmas Eve to like run out and purchase something, lame for someone just so you can check the box of getting a gift, you're lame. You're the type of person I don't like.
I did that in my 20s.
I never did that. Like, dude, I've already got like Christmas gifts ordered now. I've been like that. And they're all USA made. You know, and me. It's going to be all stuff you didn't think that you need, but you need it. No, I can't stand that stuff. Oh, I didn't get somebody this gift. I'm just going to run out the mall and check about. I would rather not get any. I just like save your money. Save your money. It's silly. I can't to sit around and figure out like how can I waste money on a token of appreciation for someone by ordering something from China and giving it to them, something they don't need. I never understood that. Maybe just I don't know. I think people need to be more thoughtful with their consumerism. I say this. I'm guilty as all of you. I'm not saying that I'm any better. I'm just saying I think we all need to be more thoughtful. I am crazier than you, though, when it comes to this. I can guarantee that. I told you the wooden spoon thing yesterday. Some of you didn't believe it. And I actually sent a picture to one of you. I know I rarely write back, but someone's like, that was a little hard to believe. And I'm like, let me show you my wooden spoons, chick. I was like, here you are, Kathy from Ohio. Let me show you my wooden spoons. Totally did that. So, and she was like, I've learned my lesson.
Actually, it makes me think I should probably get my mom a replacement wooden spoon. Dude, as a kid,
She
broke a couple on my backside.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
You're going to give her more weapons to beat you with?
Well, she doesn't do that anymore.
Are you sure she doesn't?
Just restock her supply.
Restock her supply. Here's your weapons, Mom. So, this global supply chain crisis, and then we have this other situation with Democrats and let me pull this up. I can't wait for the White House press briefing today. So Jen Psaki was dodging questions on Hunter Biden's macaroni necklace show. His art show. He sold five paintings at $75,000. Did you all see what one of those paintings were? One of the paintings that he sold for $75,000 was blackbirds on a red background. Like a two-tone thing. That was it. Dumbest thing I ever seen. I know that art is subjective, but I'm just going to say that some of the stuff that I see people fawning over is just dumb. Like a lot, some of them, I don't know. You can sit here and call me a FUD on it all you want to, but I'm just like, it's, I looked at that and I looked at some of his other stuff and I'm like, this guy thinks he's Jackson Pollock. And Jackson Pollock, I mean, I like the way you use color, but I don't get it. But yeah, you guys see, if you're watching the simulcast of the radio show, what I'm showing you, one actually was the back of a greeting card. And then the other was one of Hunter Biden's paintings. And that Hunter Biden painting sold for $75,000. I could have done that, Kane. But see, I had someone, they were talking to this, I don't know, this
so
like
art. So he plagiarizes art too?
Apparently.
Like his dad plagiarizes speeches and stuff?
Yeah, that's a good point. So apparently his, in looking at this, he was, they had a party at like one of the galleries and this is where he sold these paintings. And I thought he wasn't supposed to know who was purchasing his stuff. Remember? Weren't we all told that?
Yep.
I thought we weren't supposed to know who was buying his stuff, but apparently he was there taking pictures with these people. But yeah, this is one of his $75,000 for that. So they had this, they were interviewing this one of these, like, I don't know, an art expert or whatever. They were talking to this one, like, curator or galleryist on one news show. And they were saying, well, what in the world qualifies this for being $75,000? They were saying, well, so much of art is subjective, and a lot of it also has to do with the time and the era and what it's capturing, and also the artists themselves. And so it's not actually about the art. You're buying it because you think it's popular to own it right now. That's what I heard. That is such a sheep mentality. That I just laughed. I'm like, oh, go ahead. You just proved my point. All right. So we got more to come, including, let me just set you up here. I have other economic headlines as well, but we're also going to get into this. I got some wokery. Why is the IRS being in your bank account and that facet of the budget bill, why is that not like the biggest story in the country? Does anybody know? Anybody have any idea why that is not the biggest story in the country right now?
I have an
I don't get it. I don't understand why, but it's not, and I would love to know why. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
I was looking at this this tweet from, it was someone at CBS. They were saying, night of destruction in downtown Portland. Group in black blocks shattered dozens of windows at small and big businesses, and they spray painted several buildings, writing, kill cops, kill all cops, eat the rich, anarchy means attack. I'm sure, guys, that any moment now, we're going to get from Merrick Garland a memo on this domestic terrorism. I'm sure of it.
I don't think so.
Aren't you?
No.
You don't think so?
Not so much.
No? Pretty sure. Just wait. I mean, that's actually domestic terrorism, right?
Yeah.
So, just waiting. Yeah. So, coming up, a couple of things for this Thursday. Why is the provision in the budget bill about the IRS monitoring any transaction, $600 and up, in your bank account, why is this not the biggest story in the country? Where are all the people who used to advocate for things like, I don't know, privacy and no, unauthorized search and seizure, protection of Fourth Amendment rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Why is this not the biggest story in the country? We'll talk more about this coming up. Don't go anywhere. Second hour on the way, folks. If you enjoy wine and you're tired of drinking the boring $10 grocery store Strawberry Hill, you need to try the extreme altitude wine that comes from the mountains of Argentina. Imagine pouring a glass with your dinner that comes directly from the highest vineyards in the entire world. That's 6,000 to 9,000 feet. Any higher, and the grapes wouldn't be able to survive. What does all this mean for the wine? A flavor unlike any wine you've ever tasted. Blackberry, leather, smoke, and a little dark cherry. This stuff packs a punch. And nature does all the work. That means no dyes and no flavor additives. The wine is almost impossible to get in the U.S. The small family producers deep in the Andes Mountains make limited quantity of these bottles. Just getting the wine down from the mountain unbroken and undrank is a challenge. The guys over at Bonner Private Wines have cracked the code to getting these rare wines to Americans. They've cut out the middleman, so you're not going to deal with any big industry markup. Visit conservativewines.com and you'll get top quality extreme altitude wine for about half the price. My listeners get 50% off the wine and 50% off the shipping. No need for a promo code. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
So Americans are starting to be worried about this. Do you think that this pay for of giving the IRS more money to crack down on unpaid taxes is going to stay in the reconciliation?
Yes.
Bill? What do you say
yes.
to Americans
yes.
who are concerned
yes.
about that?
Yes. Well, I mean, with all due respect, the plural of anecdote is not data. I've said that before here. Yes, there are concerns that some people have, but if people are breaking the law and not paying their taxes, one way to track them is through the banking measure. I think 600, but that's a negotiation that will go on as to what the amount is, but yes.
Nancy Pelosi. Yes, it's absolutely that IRS. The IRS is, of course, going to be. That's all part of that budget thing that they're putting in there. It's a provision in the budget bill. And this is something that, and Pelosi confirms, she says it's in there. Why? Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you today. You can download the Odyssey app to listen to the show that you're actually listening to right now, 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and sign up for my newsletter over at Substack, accessible through my website. So, why is this not the biggest story in the country? It's the IRS looking to monitor your bank account with no warrants, nothing. They just want access because they think they can't have anybody not paying taxes. But they're going to be going after the people who actually pay the most. That's the problem. I mean, this is such a, it's such a breach of private, of your privacy, your right to privacy. And that's like a, I just can't believe that more people are not talking about this. Why isn't this everywhere? Right? I mean, I get it. You know, there are a lot of other stories to watch too, but do you realize that once you have the government in your bank account that you are never, ever getting them out? Mm-hmm. Ever. That it is there to stay forever. I just, it, and then to be able to, how do you even facilitate something like that? Do you know how many people that you have to hire to even do something like this? How many people that you would have to hire? Now, there are some states who say they're not going to comply with this. Missouri and Arkansas, they said they're not complying with it. They said it's an overreach. They have to protect the privacy of their account holders. But Janet Yellen, she thinks, yes, it's going to fill the tax $7 trillion gap. Of course, this is the woman who says that the Soviet nominee that's heading up the Treasury or the comptroller of the currency, that person, you know, even though they totally celebrate communism and communists, they deserve a fair hearing. I don't think so. I don't think so. Yellen had said it's just a way for the IRS to get a sense of where that might be. Just some pieces of information about people's bank accounts. It's a direct quote. That's terrifying. So anything that's like credit or debit account, paychecks, money transfer, PayPal, all that stuff. Any transaction like $600 or more. No. Mm-mm. Y'all, we dumped tea in the harbor for less, and I'm not saying that to be flippant. There's no way. And you know that they will in some way find something that you've done wrong. They'll find something that you've done. That's the other thing, too. Remember how I said we went through the math of all this. They could confiscate the wealth of everybody, and it still is not going to close the gap of their spending because they will not offset anything. And as Kane noted, as we talked last week, you know how many guns I have that are like over $600? How is that not a backdoor registry? Janet Yellen says, oh, well, it's not going to be collecting information about what you're purchasing. I don't believe you. Who the hell believes this? What do you mean you're not getting information about what it is people are purchasing? No one believes you. I don't think that the government can give us any assurances. They're not in any position to give us any assurances. It's so troubling and it's worrisome. And it's kind of shocking to me that more people aren't speaking out about this. I think some people on the right who weren't particularly pro-Trump, I honestly think that when they saw some big government moves and violations of privacy and complete ignoring of rule of law, like where it concerns FISA, et cetera, they were silent about all of this just because they didn't like Trump. And I think that kind of like laid the groundwork for one of the reasons as to why even people on the right aren't talking about this as much as they should be. This should be like the lead for every night on cable news. And any Republican that votes to pass this thing, I mean, I think that conservatives and Republicans should be in the streets over it. I mean, and people got to quit calling. And people have to quit worrying about what other people are going to think of them. It's extreme. It's extremist to want to be in other people's bank accounts and monitor their transactions. That's extremist. Just, it's... Now, we were talking about the cost of energy. We were talking about high-class problems. The Hill has a piece where they say it's amateur hour. Mayor Pete Buttigieg's inexperience is exposed as the supply chain breaks down. He's tweeted like two things in the past 6 days. And the Mayor Poot stands went crazy. They went crazy. They flip out. If you notice, like Francis O'Rourke and Mayor Poot, they all came from the same factory. John Ossoff, they all came from the same factory. It's the factory that makes these very underwhelming white dudes, white progressives. And they said that it's crazy, The Hill, this editorial at The Hill. They say it's basically crazy. And I do think it is nuts that this guy who has no experience with any of this at all whatsoever is the transportation secretary. It's silly. It's like making me an NFL commissioner. They have a bus station and they have 60 buses and they have a tiny little regional airport. And he was in South Bend. He was the mayor of South Bend. So they decided to make this guy head of Department of Transportation. The supply chain stuff, the port stuff, the things that are federally regulated, that's his jurisdiction. You have ships off the coast that can't unload their cargo, truckers on interstate highways overwhelmed, log jams, rail yards clogged, trains apparently have been backed up 25 miles outside of one Chicago facility. And it's a disaster. But where's Mayor Poot? Joe Concha was looking at the headlines and he said that it only calls there was like one headline that talked about him on port congestion, and it was how he was quiet on it. What is the point of having this role if you're not going to do it? Same thing with Kamala. What's the point of being the border czar if you're not actually doing anything with the border? I mean, do you remember the Biden ad that mocked his total lack of experience? Do you guys remember that during the debate when Mayor Poot and Biden were debating? It was actually one of the funnier things that Biden's people did, where they mocked him. They said, this guy's not a Barack Obama. And they had Pete's record and they made fun of him, of basically not having any experience at all whatsoever. It was good. It was funny. Now it's on display. I mean, now it's all out there. And what gets me is when the president made his remarks, he's blaming the private sector for this problem. And that's by design. The government wants you to think that the problem is because of not enough federal intervention, as opposed to too much. That's what they want you to think. They want you to think that it's not enough federal intervention as opposed to too much. Blaming it on the private sector when he caused the problem. This is all a part of the plan. They want to poison the public into thinking that this is really something that the federal government can fix. It's really, they can do it. I mean, it's because of the federal government. I was watching this, I was looking at this report that came out. And this is from Reuters. It said the supply chain is snarled. Biden's not going to be able to fix Christmas, according to experts. And they say that his solutions are silly. They're just non sequiturs. That's what Washington Post said, too. He's trying to ease the shortages and tame the prices. But what did you think was going to happen when you made everybody stay home? You paid people to stay home and then they started ordering stuff online. What the hell did you think was going to happen when you shut the economy down and then you didn't open it up properly so that things could grow together organically? What did you think was going to happen when all you people wanted to shut down the world's biggest economy? People stayed home. They started ordering everything online. What did you think? They created this problem. This wasn't the private sector. The private sector is trying to deal with it. That's the problem. And so, I don't even know how long this is going to take. I don't know how long this is going to take. But it's a mess. I have so many, I'm just like looking over all these supply chain headlines. Fuel, gas, oil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything, it's affecting like diapers. It's affecting formula. I had a thing about formula that some people like get in from Europe. Now there's like, they were warning about that. All kinds of stuff. Things that people need for day-to-day supplies too. This is, why are we not more self-sufficient also? And all of this is in, and all of this is going to be made worse by this budget. All of it will. Coming up, I got a whole bunch of media stuff for you. You know, all the people at CNN who tell you, oh, you need to stay home and wear 6 feet of masks. Brian Stelter, he was at a splashy HBO premiere where he was drinking champagne and eating caviar with people like Don Lemon and everybody else. You know, the people who tell you that you should have stayed home and you're the cause of why everything's so awful. We're going to talk about that. I got media stuff. I got wokery for you. Also, we've got some of the latest as it relates to ongoing eye on China. Will Ron DeSantis save Christmas? With temperatures cooling off, don't let that stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Black Rifle Coffee Company is veteran-owned and serves premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. And with every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee gives back with over 6 million cups of coffee donated to veteran, law enforcement, and first responder causes in 2020 alone. The best way to enjoy freedom-filled coffee is with Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, and partner discounts. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This is a sad story. This is from New York Post. There was a lot of crazy stuff that happened and is a direct result of what happened with the lockdown. They said suicides among Japanese kids are at a record high during the pandemic. Yeah, this is such a sad story. This is New York Post and a couple of other outlets here, but they say that suicides in Japan are at the highest that they've been in more than 4 decades. This is just so sad. This is, they said that it's, and it's because of, you know, looking at, it's because of looking, you know, the lockdown, looking at lockdown. They said in the story, if their website would stop being stupid, it said that as the pandemic prompted school closings and disrupted classrooms, 415 children from elementary to high school, those ages were recorded as having taken their own lives, according to the Education Ministry survey. The number is up by nearly 100 from last year, the highest since record keeping began in 1974. Of course, suicide has a long history as a way of avoiding perceived shame or dishonor, at least culturally with parts with Japan. And but that's, you know, hasn't been considered anything as part of modernity. But the suicide rate has long topped their suicide rate, the group of seven nations, but they've tried this national effort to bring it down by 40% over 15 years. They had 10 straight years of decline, but now we've seen it an increase, and it's actually more prevalent amongst women than men with this. This is just so, that's so sad, so sad. This was really sad to see. Brett Baer had noted this yesterday, and that the Pentagon reported a 46% spike in suicide amongst U.S. Army's active duty forces in the second quarter compared to the exact same period last year. That is an absolute crisis. Absolute crisis. There's a, so the more information is coming out about this guy who went on a bow hunting spree, or a, well, bow and arrow terror attack. This killer had been flagged in Norway for radicalization. He already had a restraining order against him after he threatened his father with a firearm. He's a Muslim convert. That's how he's being described by police. Anderson Braithen. He's named as a terrorist in Norway. He was a radicalized Muslim convert, and he took his bow and some arrows and went and shooting a bunch of people just in and around. I mean, it's just awful. This story is so insane. Just running out through the streets and then shooting people with a bow and arrow. It's just crazy. Additionally, robot dogs are now having assault rifles mounted on their backs. I don't like robot dogs to begin with. I mean, I like dogs, not robot dogs. This is even crazier. Stay with us, because steaks might soon become champagne-like luxury, says the media. What?
Shooting down woke culture, one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
May God protect our troops. Thank you all so very much.
You're not going to answer your questions, girl. He ain't going to answer your questions. It's Biden not answering questions. They were asking him about the supply chain, which he's not going to answer anything. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Good to be with you today, this Thursday. I wanted to, there's one thing I keep seeing popping up over and over again, and I actually was going to, where did I put this? I think I had it in a previous hour. I'm pulling this up. So I have two things here. The first one is, I saw this in Daily Mail. Now, being that it's a British publication, the U.S. version will have, it's basically a lot like just their U.K. version, except the U.K. version prioritizes a little bit more British-centric stories on Above the Fold, whereas the U.S. version has a lot more celebrity stuff, but it includes some royal stuff in there, too, and they do a lot of U.S. politics. So we had the Blue Origin thing yesterday. William Shatner was sent into space, 90 years old. And then I saw this. They had this headline. Prince William slams the billionaire's space race and said they should focus on fixing Earth's problems first in stunning intervention hours after Amazon chief Jeff Bezos sent Star Trek's William Shatner into orbit. Prince William criticized the race to leave the Earth and said repair this planet was important, and said Jeff Bezos... said that this is going to rob from our children's future. I have a thought. I fought a war. Not you, but all of our ancestors fought a war to not GAF about what royalty over in Britain says. I think it's great that people are using their own money to do this kind of stuff and pushing forward, because the government's shown it's incapable of doing so. These are people who think that no discovery, no nothing can be had unless the government leads the way. There are people who are very, very religious, and government is their God. So, you know how Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses, government is the opiate of the asses.
That's true.
It's true. I think it's whenever him or that ginger, you know, spare talk about this. I just think it's the most privileged thing. I actually do think that that's a privileged thing. I always hate that term whenever it's used to describe people, but this is a guy who grew up in castles. I mean, for the love, he wears a crown. Like, they literally put this on his head. They should be trying to fix and repair the planet. Okay, like what? Why do you think that you have the authority to lecture these people about this, about what they're doing with their money? I'm not a fan of Jeff Bezos' politics, but I don't recall Prince William being there in Jeff Bezos' parents' garage when Jeff Bezos started Amazon, do you? I don't recall Prince William driving around the lending library that Amazon started as when Jeff Bezos first began the company, do you? I don't remember any of that, just like I don't remember Prince William sleeping on the floor of the factory at Tesla the way Elon Musk did when Tesla was growing, do you? Did any of these rich, elitist, white, castle-living, royal British people, he didn't risk anything to be a part of that at all. Because someone is successful does not give you right to jealously lay claim to it. And then it made me think of this thing from Elizabeth Warren. because she had tweeted about this. She said, would you rather see, oh, I'll do it in her voice. She said, would you rather see billionaires take joyrides to space or our country make long overdue investments in childcare, clean energy, and affordable housing? It's time for a hashtag wealth tax. Wait, what? I mean, crazy, because I thought, you know, billionaires could do both, number one. And billionaires already pay a wealth tax. In fact, the top 1% pay the majority of all the taxes. IRS numbers that everybody ignores already confirm this. These things are all public. They even put it in a table form for you for easy reading. Make long overdue investments in child care. Why does Jeff Bezos or any of these other rich people, why are they responsible for paying for my kids? Did they have a choice in me bringing any of my kids into the world? Did you? You didn't? So why the hell should you pay for it? Why? Why is it your responsibility? Why is it your responsibility to pay for someone else's kids? Were you there? Did you all agree to take on and pay for my college classes? No, you didn't. So the whole thing with the college loan stuff, I paid my own way. I don't know why other people can't. All these people saying forgive the loan debt, all this stuff. Did you co-sign that loan? That's like me forcing you to co-sign my mortgage. I mean, that's the thing. This overdue investments in child care. How about the government give an overdue investment in child care by stop taking our income and allowing us to have more income to raise our children and also allowing for school choice? You know, if the government spent less, they wouldn't require so much of our money in taxes. Don't you think that that would be a huge investment? Why is government? That's never an option for them. And for everyone who says, well, what? No, if government just stuck to the enumerated powers. And who was it that did this? It was an economist that did it. I think it was Dan Mitchell and Art Laffer that actually had a discussion on this. If government stuck to Article 1, Section 8, and if there must be a tax, just have, you know, like a consumption tax or something. I like the idea of a graduated consumption tax if you're going to have one. Then the government actually reduced its spending to what was called for by enumerated powers, then we would not be in debt. We would actually have a surplus. We would have a budget surplus. They sat down and did the math like 6 years ago, and I talked about it in depth on air, not to relitigate it, but the problem is that whenever there's discussion of an investment, it always means more money from the already overtaxed American citizen. It never means less spending from the government. It never means the government is going to stop taking your money and allow you to use that to raise your children. That's the problem. That's the problem that I and so many other people have with this ridiculousness. Why is that not considered an investment? Because the government wants your money. That's why. They think that your money is their money. And they think that the way to fix the problems that they have caused by overspending and overregulating is by taking more of your money. Just like they think that any problems with climate change can be fixed by taking more of your money. Well, we'll stop the sun from getting super hot with money. Just give us some money. It's like pain and indulgence. Just give us some money. That's it. That's all it requires. It's true. So I think this is such garbage. You can't celebrate this. They try to attack people for creed. I think it's amazing that a dude started in his parents' basement and he shot a phallus up into space. It's crazy. It's true. I mean, for real, you have all these designs to choose from, and that's the one you go for with your rocket. That's what you pick. Okay. I got to share with you this headline from CNN. Media is trying really, really hard. They know that they have to criticize Biden now because it's bad. So they're trying to criticize Biden. So this is what they're saying. Here's this headline by CNN. You're going to enjoy this. Biden's laid-back style helped him win the White House, but may be starting to wear thin. Laid-back style. If he was any more laid back, I don't know if he'd have a pulse. Did you play the beginning? Did I send you that audio soundbite, how he began his speech yesterday? And he sounded like Ketchero from Ghost Stories, the English dub. Did you? He totally did. What?
I think I have something.
Yeah, did you? Just I think I put it in Slack, but I don't remember what I put it as. But he was, what? It was just nuts. It was, and everyone's like, don't make fun of his stutter. That he's not stuttering. Do you know what a stutter is? Shut up. Stop, like, trying to, you're making fun of people who stutter by saying that that's stuttering. Stop it. Did I send that to you?
I have two different cuts that show it, but when he's talking about names, you mean, and then supply chain?
Yeah, something like that, because everyone's like, oh, this is starting off.
Right.
Well.
Yeah, peak hours at the ports. So, the commitments being made today are a sign of major progress in moving goods from manufacturers to a store or to your front door. I want to thank my Supply Chain Disruption Task Force, which we set up in June, led by Secretaries Buttigieg, Raimondo, and Vilsack.
And then he's got one with the names.
I'm joined by the Executive Director of the Ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, Gene Soroka, and Mario Cordono. I apologize, Mario.
Mario? That,
and the president of the International Longshoremen's Union, Willie Adams.
Good heavens. Mario. Remember when they made fun of Bush because his Texas accent, he would say nuclear?
Right.
It is nuclear, but everybody in Texas, Native Texans, have this accent. I cannot replicate it. It's weird. Not in a bad way. It's just so different from everything else. Like, he'll say nuclear. It's like a slang, but with a curl. I don't know how else to put it. You know what I mean? It's just very different. But they ridiculed him and made fun of him. I'm like, there's so many other things you could criticize, but okay. But they would make fun. I'm like, this. And then living in Texas now since 2013, oh my gosh, everybody here has that. All native, you can spot it. You can hear a native Texan from like 5 feet away. You can hear it. They have, even if it's not even if they're not like from out west, southwest, where there's like a more of a drawl, I think, there is something, you can hear it. There's something in it. I can't put my finger on it. You all know what I'm talking about. And the emphasis on things like, oh, okay, so sidebar, funniest conversation I ever had was someone was like, you're not saying Fort Worth correctly. And I'm like, what? And I would say Fort Worth. And they're like, no, that ain't right. And I'm like, they're like, it's Fort Worth. And I'm like, Fort Worth. The worth gets the emphasis. The stress is on the worth, as though worth is its, as if it's a, you know, a two syllable word, and worth is what gets the stress. That I'm like, you just tell me that. No, it's Fort Worth. I'm like, Fort Worth. No, Fort Worth. Like, what? And this, it was like, who's on first? It went on for like a minute or so. It was just, I still actually don't get it, but it's too funny. All right, we got more to come. We got Florida Man on the way. And hang on, I got a couple of other things here to get you. So Andrew Yang, he's got the forward party. Did you hear this?
I did.
He goes, if there was a forward party, he literally tweeted this. So you guys know I'm not making this up. This is a real tweet. He tweeted, if there was a forward party car, it wouldn't turn left or right. It just goes straight ahead. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Andy. Thanks. We got more to come. You don't want to miss. Tell you what. They tried. He tried, though. He tried. That was, you know, there he went.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness, and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at DeltaRescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly DeltaRescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at DeltaRescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit DeltaRescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I can't even deal. Oh, this is NBC 2. Drunk Florida man arrested after scaring kids at the Naples Library. A man was arrested for scaring children at a library in Naples, Florida while drunk. Officers with the Naples Police Department arrested 38-year-old Joshua Daniel Moss at the Naples Regional Library Monday evening. The manager of the library told officers that Moss was causing a major disturbance and was staring at children that were in daycare. When officers arrived, Moss was howling at the computer, making loud noises, and they noticed he smelled like liquor. He was arrested for disorderly intoxication and taken to the Naples Jail Center for further processing. This is hysterical. He's at the library and he's scaring the tar out of all these kids because they're, oh my gosh, I just can't. It's funny, but I'm glad. Yes, kids should not be. Oh, it's dangerous. It's just funny though. He had to have been really loud for the kids to get scared. But his mugshot's like, whatever. He just entertains me. Okay, so you remember the guy who caught the gator in the trash can? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Eugene Bozzi, this man is not afraid of nothing. This is in Mount Dora, Florida. So you saw the video of him stuffing a gator in a trash bin while he was wearing slides, right? I love that this is the third news article that mentioned that he was wearing Adidas slides. I'm not kidding. And so now they're like, he should get his own wildlife show. So there's a new video where the alligator guy, apparently there was a large snake. He caught this ridiculously large snake in a towel while wearing slides. So he said, damn snakes in the house and grass. That's what he apparently said in the video. So he's wearing Adidas slides. Apparently they even gave him a shout out on social media. He's mad because I guess his kids are trying to play outside and no kids can play outside because there's gators and snakes and whatever the hell's going on in Florida where they are. And so he gets it. The man uses a towel. I'm watching this video to get this snake. And then he walks away holding it at arm's length. And you can tell it's a big snake and it keeps trying to like peek out from the towel. Snakes don't bother me, but I don't like it when you cover them like that. I want to see where all they are because it's just shady. It's a shady animal, man. That animal cannot be trusted. Oh, my gosh. Oh, let's see. One Florida man locks a dad and a daughter in a tennis court over a scooter dispute. It's a scooter fight in Kendall, Florida. A Florida man's facing charges after he locked a neighbor and a neighbor's 5-year-old daughter in a tennis facility at an apartment complex. He was mad after seeing the father watching his 5-year-old daughter while she was riding a scooter on the tennis courts. So the 63-year-old named James Olson is now facing charges of false imprisonment after telling the dad and daughter that it was not allowed there. You can't ride the scooter there. And the victim wouldn't leave, saying he wasn't breaking any rules. But then Olson responded by padlocking both of them inside, according to Miami-Dade police. And then Olson said he was the president of the building, which investigators quickly determined was not true. So he's in trouble. And also, maybe he needed the tennis court. Maybe just be polite, but don't lock people up like that. Stay with us. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
No family should have to choose between heating their home or putting food on the table. But that's what a lot of people, particularly seniors, do, have to do. And no seniors have to choose between shivering and purchasing medication that they desperately need. That's also what a lot of seniors have to do. So we need to make sure our most vulnerable here on Long Island have what they need to pay their heating bills. So we're urging HHS to allocate HEAP funding at the highest level soon enough. In previous years, they didn't allocate it quickly enough, even though the money was in the budget, and a lot of people didn't get it. That's why we need it allocated now, front and center.
Oh, for the love. So that's Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, who is saying that people should not have to choose between heating their homes or putting food on the table. There's going to be sharp increases in stuff, guys. If only we had another pipeline that could get oil and gas in Canada to refineries and storage centers in the United States faster. Dang, if only someone...
And with less pollution.
Yeah, and with less pollution. Welcome back to the show, guys. It's Thursday. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go sign up for my newsletter. And we also... you can download the Odyssey app, which is actually very nice to have because you can listen to me anywhere. Anyway, take me with you wherever you go. That pipeline too, I was just looking at some of the headlines, like New York local media. High heating bills everywhere. We're going to be paying so much more. And for propane too. Here I was like already planning out burying a propane tank in my yard as a backup in case we ever have another big freeze again. Dude, you know what I did after that big freeze? I went out and bought all American-made additional prepper stuff. I have legit straight-up oil lamps, like old-timey pilgrim days oil lamps. And made in the USA. They were, yes, cheaper than the ones made in China. Or more expensive, rather, than the ones made in China. I did find some made in Taiwan, though. And I was like, I love these Taiwanese-made oil lamps. It's like a giant, buying a giant finger to China. That's what it is. But I'm ready. I am totally ready. So if it goes out again and I have tons and tons and tons and tons of oil, it's insane. Basically, I'm on a powder keg. My house is a powder keg, essentially. But I wanted to bury propane so I would have like total backup system, all that. And I'm not against, you know, solar powered. I have one of my backups is a solar power generator. But, you know, when it's like icing in that, guess what? You don't have sun. For the solar power. So that's kind of a problem. But now propane is going to be super expensive too. If only there had been a pipeline, Kane. Now imagine it. A pipeline from Canada going down to like the refineries in Houston for storage for oil and gas. Can you imagine? It's amazing that we didn't do that. Huh? Oh, yeah. Wait.
Like an XL pipeline.
Yeah, like the Keystone XL pipeline. But see, we couldn't have the Keystone XL pipeline. Russia could have Nord Stream XL. Because see, it makes more sense for the environment to take the oil and gas and not take it by a pipeline, which doesn't use more fossil fuels and risk causing more damage or pollution. No, that was bad. Instead, the smart thing is to take that oil and gas from where it's originating in parts of Canada and then put it on trains, which are fueled with four additional fossil fuels, and then take that all the way down. So like double the fossil fuels to get the fossil fuels from A to B. That's smart. Can I share with you this headline that I am trying to wrap my head around? Really, really. So this, I was actually looking for a GIF on break to best describe my feelings for this. The Courier Mail says, this is Australia. If you are fully vaccinated against COVID, the next step to improve your immunity may be to actually catch the virus. Are you okay? Did you sneeze for a moment? You totally jerked in your chair so hard.
A little politically driven epilepsy. Oh, man.
So that's Australia. That's the Courier and Mail. By the way, do you know that suntanning is not, hold up, in Australia is considered an offense, audio soundbite 3. So this is an exchange that legit happened on a beach. Listen.
So I'm Constable Weston from Maroubra Police Station. As I said before to you, sunbathing is not an essential reason to be outside. I'm requesting your identity because I suspect you're committing an offence. You must provide that identity to me, okay? Okay. And we'll investigate further.
For me, sunbathing is not essential.
Sir?
Yeah, Constable Sedge from Maroubra Police. Just letting you know, our boy Walden is also recording. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. And your stance as well is the exact same as this gentleman?
Yeah, I agree. You may be potentially breaching the public health order at this point in time.
Okay, do we believe that the public health order is superseding common law? Is it
okay, we're not arguing points of law with you. We're acting on the public health order. You need to be outside for an essential reason. You are in a hot spot zone for the COVID virus. Unfortunately, we must enforce that, like, you've got to be outside for an essential reason. Laying on the beach, just having a sunbathe, like, it's not an essential reason to be outside.
I know.
Now, we're going to look further into whether you are committing an offence.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what? I would be in jail in Australia.
No,
my American and anti-authoritarian DNA, and like I said, doesn't matter if you're born here or you become a citizen. Your DNA magically changes. When you come to America, or you're born and you grow up, you're paying your taxes, you come to America, your DNA changes and you're all of a sudden, you like being left alone. It's amazing. None of us would do well down there with that. Can you imagine? Oh, really? I can't be out here sunbathing, eh? It would not work out well. I can't do an Australian accent. That sounded like a Cockney. I can't. So it's, sunbathing is not considered, he said, an essential reason to be outside. And I don't know if you guys saw this video. I'll include this in my prep email for this evening, this newsletter. Because the camera looked kind of around when they were having this exchange. There was nobody around this guy. I mean, nobody around this dude. Nobody. They went, they saw one dude on the beach and they're like, oh no, we got to get him. And they ran out there and then with this, and we're going to check and see. Like, they didn't even know. They just started harassing him and they didn't even know if it was actually actionable. We're going to see what else can be done here. We would not go, man. I would throw sand at him and then run. That's me. Totally. Or be like that one dude, remember in the early days of the lockdown here in the U.S.? And there was a guy on a jet ski and they literally got the National Guard boat out to chase this dude on a jet ski out in L.A. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He was out in the ocean by himself on a jet ski. And it was like watching a really bad version of Miami Vice out in L.A. where they had the National Guard boat chase this dude down and try to corner him. Dumbest thing I ever saw. Dumbest thing I've ever seen. Outside. It's like peak stupidity. Golly, this doesn't make any sense at all. So if that's what, can they now, how are they saying that in Australia? Can't they, if somebody wrote that in Australia, if you can have the, they're not bobbies, what do they call them in Australia? Just police maybe? Okay. If they could come up and aggravate a dude lonesome on a beach and he was wearing, he had his mask and everything, which is so stupid, outside by himself on the beach. you might get a seagull sick. But if this piece, this headline at Courier Mail, if you're fully vaccinated against the COVID, the next step to improve your immunity, maybe to actually catch the virus, can't they like get on these people for writing this headline?
What I also don't get is, you know, the sun creates vitamin D in your body when you're exposed to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the CDC says vitamin D is beneficial. They're not saying that it's a cure for anything or anything like that, but vitamin D is beneficial. So why would they say sunbathing is not essential? I would say it would be essential.
I don't even know, man. I just don't know. I don't know. This is so dumb. What? I feel, you know that meme of the old lady going, what? I just, that's where I am right now. Oh my gosh. I'm going to switch up to media stuff. Can I share with you this crazy headline? You're going to laugh your head off at this. Ready? So remember, they're trying so hard. They're trying to look, they at this point, media knows that they have to criticize Biden because the stuff that he's involved in is just too bad. And so the headlines are getting real rough. So here's a headline from Business Insider. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here it goes. Hunter Biden isn't Trump, but what he's up to is bad and deserves your attention, even if you hate Fox News.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, my gosh. The only thing missing from this is something about being unvaccinated.
Right.
And then it would be like the trifecta. That's the headline. Hunter Biden isn't Trump, but what he's up to is bad and deserves your attention, even if you hate Fox News. What the hell does any of this stuff have to do with Hunter Biden? What does any of this have to do? And it gets into like his money and the shared bank account and all this stuff. And that he's actually is being investigated for these business deals. It's ongoing. That's not fake news. That headline hurt somebody. Damn it, we got to write something about Hunter Biden. Throw something about Trump in there. Well, he's not Trump, but he's bad. Because it's amazing that someone can be bad and not be Trump. What? That's what they're doing. So, you mean people who are bad cannot be Trump? That's crazy. What? Oh my gosh, there's a reason why I'm so glad and I am so grateful that I can stay in Dallas and work in Dallas, because I would be on the program cops every damn day as like a repeat offender with this stuff. There's no way. Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, I'm going to apologize, because if you see this repeatedly in your email prep that I sent tonight, it is not my fault. It is so ridiculous of a headline. I had it in there 6 times because I was already getting the draft email prep newsletter for you ready already. And I could not stop making fun of it. And I had like a whole paragraph, and then I came back to it later. So I'm just, bear with me. It's hysterical. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy letter P, letter M, investments.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, lateral flow tests detect people at greater risk of spreading coronavirus and are more accurate than previously thought, according to one study. Yeah, lateral flow. Research found that lateral flow tests detect around 80% of the positive cases. Swabs are about 90% effective at detecting it when people are at their most infectious. This is something from British and U.S. researchers. They found rapid tests are actually 90% effective at detecting this, what they basically are. Interesting. I wondered about that because weren't you kind of told that, oh, no, those aren't really. It's interesting because you can take like a rapid test at like home because you can buy those kits now, but that doesn't count if you're going to.
That's assuming that one study is absolutely, you know, true. Definitive and true.
Yeah, it's assuming that anything are actually true. Anything. Women are more creative during the fertile stage of their monthly cycles, according to a study. Researchers found 751 female volunteers aged 13 to 35 about their cycle. They said women would complete a creative task, and it was rated by independent raters. And they said that women were most creative immediately after ovulation. I would imagine they're bitchier too. I can say that because I'm a woman. I can say it. You know, it's true. I'm not even apologizing for that. It's true. It's science. Follow it. New Zealand slaps vaccine mandates on all education and healthcare workers. I'm sure this is going to go over real well. They said that this is after a week after Canada adopted mandatory vaccination rules for federal workers and travelers. Now New Zealand has announced their own mandates for most teachers and healthcare workers. So most, they said, most. So and that's kicking in now. That's when it's all being implemented now. All right, we got more to come, folks. You don't want to miss more of The Dana Show coming up after this. Stick with us.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
We are seeing now a decline in acceleration and a turnaround of cases. Where do we ultimately want to be? As I mentioned, it is going to be very difficult, at least in the foreseeable future and maybe ever, to truly eliminate this highly transmissible virus. And again, as I mentioned, we've only eradicated one.
So, Dr. Fauci, haven't we kind of, Kane is a meme now. You turned into a meme.
What have we been saying? That's exactly what we've been saying.
I feel
saying.
Like we need a camera on you.
I feel like we don't.
No, I feel like we do. I feel like that's the thing that maybe needs to happen.
I completely feel the opposite.
Just
that's
saying.
Weird.
That's weird now that I feel we disagree on that. And one of us is right, and it's me. The head of, national head of infectious diseases there, Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's saying what, and welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. He's saying what we've been talking about. This is an endemic virus. It'll be seasonal. It'll pop up. Yeah, it's like the flu. It'll be probably more prevalent in the north during winter months, a little bit more prevalent in the south during warmer months. And that's kind of, you can't get rid of a virus because it's a virus. You can't ever eliminate a virus. That's the thing. Now, if they do come up, like say that they start work over the next decade, over, you know, on an actual injection that does truly transfer immunity, and they're able to genetically sequence various different ones for different types, different variants. Sure, then we'll have discussions about stuff. But the way it is now, this isn't. Didn't one of those guys, by the way, who was behind the mRNA tech? Correct me if I'm wrong, which is just rhetorical, but I do feel like he was saying that one of the reasons why there was such an early rise of a mutation was because of a lot of injections.
Yeah. I haven't had
and
some,
that it should have been for people who were high risk.
I even have some audio in Fauci talking about some of the side effects and some of the effects of an mRNA.
Well, I don't want to get into all of that, like, right, because we have some other things to hit, but. But I just do think that that's interesting that now he's finally acknowledging what I think we were all talking about even a year ago, that this is endemic. This is something that's going to be here now, and we're just going to have to deal with it, and we'll get better at dealing with it. But we can't be shutting things down and basically holding still growing children hostage at one particular stage of academic and social development as a result of this. That's not the way to do it. That's absolutely entirely irresponsible. And you know what we're seeing too with all of this, with the supply chain shortage and everything else, is that this is what happens when you shut an economy down and you have everyone staying at home. They're still going through consumer act. They're still engaging in consumer behavior. But you shut everything else down and paid people to stay home. What did you think was going to happen? And then when you start reopening things, I've never seen anything like this, where people make these decisions to force these policies without any regard at all whatsoever for the consequences of these policies. So this is a serious thing. You can't just be shutting stuff down like this. It's too serious of a thing. And I don't know. I'm not so worried about whether or not there's going to be stuff on the shelves for Christmas. That doesn't, I'm not worrying about the presents. I'm not worrying about this stuff. I'm not worrying about any of that. But I do think that this is going to, when you're looking at consumer purchasing, I'm wondering how that's going to affect the economy if people purchase less this year as a result of that, because that's always a measure, the Christmas retail, that's always a measure of where the economy is going to go, how healthy things are going to be. And it's always either doom and gloom or it's really great. Everyone always very curiously, all these forecasters always watch how everybody buys, what they buy, where they buy, when they buy, how much they buy. We are in such a consumerist society, though. Maybe it's just like maybe we should take a lesson from that. I think so. So, a couple of other things. CNN is in damage control. I don't have to play all the audio, but after Dr. Sanjay Gupta's train wreck interview with my friend Joe Rogan, where he admitted that, yeah, they shouldn't have said that. I actually saw a thing. What was it? There was, like, when Don Lemon had Sanjay Gupta on, he was saying that, yeah, and Don Lemon was telling Gupta about this last night. He's like, oh, yeah, you held your own. He was trying to help him out, because Gupta had to admit that CNN shouldn't have said that it was just, you know, horse dewormer. That's like saying that milk, because cats drink it, is cat food. You know? Or also cow food, too. You know, you drink milk, so do cows. So do calves. Are you a calf? No? You're drinking calf milk. Look at you having a calf food. What's wrong with you? Calf and cat. See how stupid this is? I mean, there's, you know that they do make different variations of it, right? For humans and for animals, and, you know, there's different, I'm not going to, but I do know that there is a difference, but who cares? We're trying to make fun of people who want to use a therapeutic that government hasn't made it to where big pharma can make money off of. Stop. But they're trying to do damage control right now on that. And they're not doing quite well. I wanted to get into really quickly this. I haven't talked a lot about Katie Couric's book because I'm not a Katie Couric fan. I think she's very disingenuous. And it has been my personal experience that the bubbliest people in media are the meanest people. One day I will write a tell-all. Oh, man. And you think, I'll do it it won't be published until like way long after I'm strumming the harp, waiting to get to the gate, man. So this back and forth between Katie Couric and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the interview that she did, later it came out that she had edited it because she did not want Ruth, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they were talking about kneeling for the anthem and all this stuff. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg's like, well, you know, people can be arrogant and that's their choice. I'm not going to, you know, throw somebody in jail for being arrogant, etc. But she was saying that she thought it was stupid to do. And Katie Couric was editing that portion out of her interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And so she says in this book that she did that because she wanted to help out Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I was thinking about that, the arrogance to think that you, Katie Couric, would need to help out someone as accomplished. I didn't agree with Ruth Bader Ginsburg on a lot, but she was incredibly intelligent. And that Katie Couric thought that she needed to edit her interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and it was done in 2016, to try to protect Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm pretty sure Ruth Bader Ginsburg can hold her own. She's on the Supreme Court. And this, and of course she made the interview, made Ginsburg's answer pretty disjointed. And she said that, and Daily Mail had a part of this from her memoir. She said that when she was making edits, she wanted to protect Ginsburg from backlash. Because Ginsburg said that people who kneel during the anthem are showing, quote, contempt for a government that has made it possible for their parents and grandparents to live a decent life, which they probably could not have lived in the places they came from. And as they became older, they realized that this was youthful folly, and that's why education is important, end quote. But she said she didn't think it was an actionable offense, and she's correct. And so Couric wrote that she thought the justice, who was 83 in 2016, was, quote, elderly and probably didn't fully understand the question. And they did include her saying that the protests were dumb and disrespectful. So the way that she edited it made Ginsburg's answer look even really more disjointed. And Ginsburg got some heat for it. And of course, this is not the first time that Couric has done this. I've done a lot of stories on Couric when she went after the Virginia Citizens Defense League. And she was asking them, she edited an interview with them to make it seem like they couldn't answer. She asked them about background checks for purchases for firearms and how do you prevent felons or terrorists from buying a gun. And she edited out their answer. She just had, they edited only 9 seconds of what they call room tone. So when you do a room, when you do an interview with people or when you're recording something for television, the audio guy will say quiet for everybody before everybody breaks and everything wraps and sets, you know, everybody can leave set. They say, you know, everybody quiet, and they'll tell you when you can talk again, and they just record the silence in the room, and that's called room tone, right? And so that's what they used for just 9 seconds to make it look like awkward silence from the Virginia Citizens Defense League, because they were recording, and they were, that's not how it went. They answered, and they didn't include that in there purposefully. This was some years ago, but I covered this extensively, and I had them on, etc., but this with Ruth Bader Ginsburg shows her arrogance. I mean, first off, she thinks that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because Ginsburg did not answer how Couric wanted her to, that, oh, well, she's 83. She's, you know, an old woman. What does she know? And then Katie Couric felt that she was qualified enough to intervene and somehow provide protection for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a woman who has way more accomplishments than Katie Couric could dream of. This is the arrogance of progressivism. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a leftist, but I think it might be going a little too far to say she was a total full-on progressive. She was a leftist, and I didn't agree with her on a lot, don't get me wrong. And neither did Justice Scalia, late Justice Scalia. But she wasn't nuts. That's why they were good friends, and they could get along, and they didn't look at people as issues. They looked at issues as issues and people as people. So she wasn't a progressive Marxist in the sense that she found it she was so far left that it was straight up Marxism and insane. I mean, she was on certain issues, particularly where it concerned speech. She never ruled the way that the left really wanted her to. And Couric, because Couric apparently, I guess, didn't understand Ginsburg's answer. The fault was Ginsburg somehow, according to Couric. The arrogance of this woman. I mean, you read copy that other people write for you. You know, that's what they do at big networks like this. They will have producers. You have multiple producers for different segments. One segment may have like 3 bookers and a ton of different producers. It's almost like too many cooks in the kitchen. You'll have a whole team of people for the whole show, and you'll have a little team for every single segment. They'll do all the research. They'll even write suggested questions, all of that. And she gets the packet and she just basically reads everyone else's cliff notes. They write the copy, they put it in the prompter, and that's it. I mean, there is a skill and a talent, sure, to being on camera and having that aspect of your personality lend itself through the screen. But to say that that is any way makes you somehow more formidable of your credibility is more formidable than that of somebody who's a Supreme Court justice who didn't have packets of information given to them. They have to do all this work themselves. They read this. They have people who help. They have clerks, etc. Yes. But they have to know this stuff because they're the ones writing the opinions and they're the ones asking the questions and they're the ones hearing the arguments. I just found that to be so representative and emblematic of the arrogance of the left in these situations. And also the arrogance of the media. And she's the avatar for it.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Now, I have a day that I have a day off tomorrow. So I'm not going to be on air tomorrow. Not going to be behind the mic tomorrow. But my brother from another mother, same father, Sergio, is going to be in from our KURV Southern Command. He will be in tomorrow. So make sure that you join him and have you'll have a lot of fun. But then, of course, I'll be back on Monday, though, as well. But no, it's Oktoberfest. I actually have to take, I got to get a whole bunch of stuff done. We got to get some like college stuff done. Well, if my youngest doesn't know if he wants to go to college. He is so limited government. Like, I think it's adorable. I hear libertarians talk and I'm like, oh, I don't think you've met a libertarian until you've met my child. And I just, because he's, the stuff he says, and I'm just like, how do you know this? Because it's stuff that we don't sit him down and like feed him political propaganda. You know, we don't do that. I don't want to just imprint a belief system on him. I want him to come to that knowledge so he fully owns it and sticks to it himself. You know, and I want him to ask things, and I would rather him get out any rebellious phases while he's under my roof than not. But it's just interesting because he's very math oriented. He's very smart. But he says that college is a scam and that the people who are going to own the world are the people with a real trade and real skill. And he goes on and on. And he says that computer languages, computer coding should be taught as a second language in every school. And he says that it's ridiculous that they don't teach things like home ec anymore. He was like, I think it's crazy that you don't even know how to balance, you know, what is going in and out of your bank account and that schools don't teach that, but they teach all of this other garbage. Oh my gosh. And I listened to him and I'm like, are you 90? Like, how old are you?
But I mean, it's common sense. Why take on six figure True. School debt if you can't even pay it back with, you know, underwater basket weaving or women's studies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, I shouldn't have to take a stupid humanities class if I'm going to be programming. He's like, I want to be able to just start my life now, is what he says. So I don't know what he makes straight A's. I'm like, you would get a full ride. That's the thing that I kind of, and see, I have to go against what I have been conditioned to think, right? Because I'm like, you would totally get a full ride. Like, you're, oh my gosh. Like, it's like, I want to pull my hair out. But then I'm like, he's actually correct. And you have to have people take a stand against this stuff. And he wants to do what he wants to do. I don't know. So we got some mom and dad and kid decisions to some of the things we got to do tomorrow. All right, today in stupidity.
All right, it is Don Lemon from CNN. Boy, is he smart.
So I talked to Kai Rizdahl last night, who explained to me about the supply chain. Yes, it is terrible. People want to get their things. But it's also an indicator that the economy is doing well. People want to buy things.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, having high, super high fuel prices and everything else means the economy is doing well.
It's not demand. It's supply. We have a problem with supply.
What are you talking about? Nobody knows.
It's not. Doesn't mean the economy's better, Don.
Are you sure? Just saying. All right, folks, that does it for us. Does it for us tonight. I hope you have a great weekend. Sergio will be in tomorrow. I'll be back with you on Monday. God bless. Make good choices.